Pharma Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. Pharma Nord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes, and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989. That's 01670 519989. Or visit pharmanord.co.uk. Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. We offer excellent short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 22 33 34. That's 01642 22 33 34. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Charles Ather of Ather & Co. has important information for anyone injured in an accident at work. Go on, Charles.
Many people don't realise that in law, employers have a huge duty of care. Even if your actions contributed to the accident, you may still be able to claim compensation.
So even if you think you may have been partly to blame...
Yes, talk to us. And we'll be able to advise on whether you have a claim.
Call Middlesbrough 222575 or text claim to 81400 now. That's claim to 81400 now. Choose the one you know.
Of course, Jerry Kerr, the key thing is when you're in the broadcast business, the business of broadcasting, when you find that one of your level three sort of contributors has actually sort of stepped to one side, or they've been partying so hard they're not available, etc., you know whom to go to. You go to the girl who once could only not take part in a show because she dropped her mobile phone down a toilet. We are talking about the legend that is Leicester's correspondent extraordinaire, Nicola Clancy. Are you there, Nicola?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, and the cheers have just gone crazy. There's just applause and applause coming through. It's not rain, Nicola. Don't worry. You know, we know you're there, sorted through. But, you know, people are delighted that you've come back into full force for your second 2012 contribution to, obviously, the Southside Broadcasting link-up scenario. We've yet to, obviously, feature you on Siren, but we will. I know Jericho has been literally at his wit's end over the last few days. He's been fretting, and as most of us have been, because, of course, Jericho, we know it was Nicola's driving test.
I know.
Yeah.
Not a day hasn't gone past, and I haven't thought about it.
Exactly. This is the crucial thing. And so, Nicola, we have to say the result is still up in the air, is it not?
It is, yeah. It's yet to come. So.
Because
they cancelled on me.
It's not on.
And why was that? Did they just say it was stress? Was it? Could they not cope with your good self? You know what? They said no, I can't.
Well, an hour before I got picked out to go to the test,
They
said, "Really sorry, your examiner can't turn up." And then I just kind of blanked out after that. I was just like, no.
Was he partying the night before? You know, is it that, you know, examiners can't turn up? Did his car break down? You know, was it just the examiner can't? And besides, you know, all the examiner needs to do is to get to the test centre, and then they don't have to drive.
The chauffeur around, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
it's a terrible shame.
All that stress for nothing.
but it's going to happen again. And we'll be sending out the vibes towards the end of January as that thing takes place.
Thank you.
Positive stuff there. 25th, get it sorted. Okay, so you join us for the Daily Mail. We've only got a couple of newspapers we're going to look at, plus a few other sort of areas after that. In chilling echo of Gary McKinnon, according to the Daily Mail, student, yes? We were all one of those once. Technically, we still are students of life. You know, if you're looking at a very philosophical scenario.
We never stop learning.
Jericho Keyes obviously graduated, but maintains that lifelong learning approach that we know that is much beloved of all sorts of things, etc. Nicola, of course, graduated a couple of years ago as well, but equally lifelong learning, all sorts of things, and ditto, going to endorse that from my own point of view. But a student faces 10 years in the in a US jail for setting up illegal website in university bedroom. Yes, abandoned by British justice, the headline by Jack Doyle and James Slack. A British student faces up to a decade in a US prison for actions which are not even a crime in the UK. Campaigners say 23-year-old Richard O'Dwyer is being abandoned by his country in the same way as computer hacker Gary McKinnon. Mr. O'Dwyer is accused of listing places where films and TV programmes could be illegally downloaded on a website he ran from his university bedroom in Sheffield. If only he'd gone to the lectures and seminars instead. Never mind. Legal experts say that this is not an offence under British law, and he did not download any of the entertainment himself. Yet the quiet and vulnerable son of a GP could spend 10 years in a high-security American jail after he lost his fight against extradition yesterday. So, Jericho, thoughts on this? I mean, would you say,
I don't want to say too much. I don't want to spend a decade in prison myself, so... I'm passing the blame over to him now. It was him who told me everything.
Nicola, your thoughts?
I think it's a bit harsh because he didn't actually do it himself, but he did supply all the names, so I think he is kind of, you know, he is partly to blame. So, but 10 years...
I think in the whole scheme of things, given that there's a lot of debate actually in Hollywood, and this is something I think we'll pick up with our Los Angeles director and regular correspondent Phil Learness, who I know has got some very interesting views about ways in which you promote your movies, just for actually giving in details of where you can actually access sites to download material seems a little bit, you know, I mean, I could understand possibly a fine, perhaps, but even then, I think 10 years jail.
Yeah, I think it's a bit extreme, that. I really do.
Indeed, talking about movies, Liz Thomas, page 3 of the Mail, have filmgoers seen through the 3D hype? Of course, I'm particularly looking forward to Jar Jar Binks in 3D, as we actually head in 2012 to the Phantom Menace released in 3D. Titanic is being released in 3D, and of course, Men in Black also to be released in 3D. So those people who love the 90s, but only experienced it in 2D at the time, you can experience the 90s in full 3D in the very near future. What's the last 3D movie you've seen, Nicola?
I saw the first one when it came out. It was My Bloody Valentine. I was quite impressed.
That's why they refer to Nicola on her siren shows as Potty Mouth Nicola, basically. She's straight in there, you know? Never mind.
And I've also seen the Up one, where it was like with all the balloons. That was quite good.
Yeah, what's not to love about Up? I mean, you know, the gentleman played by Ed Asner, who basically flies away, and the little bird in the balloon, and of course the child who's just seeking his badge. You know, it's like a dysfunctional family. I would have put them all in jail for 10 years, but never mind. However, film fans fed up with inflated cinema prices and disillusioned by the lack of added value are increasingly opting now for traditional 2D showings. Just a fifth of box office sales last year were for 3D films, compared with 27.5% in 2010, and it was predicted the trend would soar after James Cameron's Avatar, which made £615 million worldwide as 90% of its audiences watched in 3D. I saw Hugo in 3D, and I thought it was very impressive and well put together, but clearly Mission Impossible wasn't in 3D, that was 2D, it was fine, digital, etc. All good stuff, but anyway, Jerry, are you a 3D fan?
I've seen a few. I went to watch Alice in Wonderland before, and I thought that was brilliant in 3D.
Now, that's interesting, because that, in fact, stars one of our regular co-presenters, Eleanor Tomlinson, who's one of the twins in Alice in Wonderland. Her father, Malcolm, is a regular commentator with us, of course. not sure whether we actually got any jingles. Oh, please, some jingles. The siren based thing. Point being, I didn't think Alice in Wonderland really worked that effectively in 3D because it was retrofitted. But you enjoyed it. So yeah, good start.
Well, I haven't got that many to compare it to. So.
Got to say to the listener that we can guarantee every Southside show is actually in 3D. Look, I can reach out. The screen. It's coming at you. It's amazing. And in fact, I can see, Nicola, you're also in 3D as well. It is amazing.
Oh, yes. I am.
Fantastic.
That,
yeah. And according to Mail Foreign Service, which I think is an interesting name for a correspondent, presumably Mr. and Mrs. Service knew what they were about when they actually decided to name their son or daughter Mail Foreign, which is quite interesting. She has never cooked a meal in her life, and we're referring to Madonna. Yes, Madonna appears to have taken celebrity pampering to a new level, revealing that she has never cooked a meal in her life. Not once in her 53 years has she slaved over a hot stove, even though her daughter, Lourdes, regularly does so. Well, I suppose that's one reason for having a child, so you don't have to cook for them. Send out for a pizza! That's the bottom line. In an interview on US TV network ABC, she was asked, "What was the last meal you cooked entirely by yourself?" To which she replied, "I don't think I've ever cooked a meal entirely by myself." Why would you? What was the last meal you cooked, Nicola?
Oh, gosh.
And that's why they say Nicola Clancy is the Madonna of Leicester.
Yes. Yeah. I know, it sounds like it, doesn't it? I cooked some pasta last night, so it just doesn't sound too fascinating, though, does it?
Well, we'll get you in touch with our head chef, Aaron Craig. Reminder, the recipe that Aaron put forward, as he always does every Thursday, it's online now, and it's crispy pork. Aaron's specialist crispy pork that actually works through on that scenario there. Onwards to a couple of sort of reflections on the week, taken literally from the story of the week. It was a good week for Rolls-Royce. They defied the gloomy economic conditions to sell 3,538 cars last year, which is the most cars that it sold in its 107-year history. Did you put in for one, Jericho?
No.
China apparently was the biggest market. So lots of Rolls Royces going over to China. And this is astounding, given that Nicola's based in Leicester, and I think we'll have something to say about this. But the New York Times actually named Birmingham as a list of the top 20 holiday destinations.
No way, I'm not having that.
Yes.
No way.
Top 20 international holiday destinations. Britain's second city was singled out for its dining scene, which includes the famed Balti Triangle, as well as three restaurants with Michelin-starred chefs. And that was enough to actually put it in the top 20 holiday destinations. So you've got your Maldives, you've got the Canary Islands, you've got, you know, your various other activities. No, we'll turn it down, we'll go to Birmingham. Never mind. Interestingly enough, I don't know what your thoughts are on this. I mean, what Leicester in terms of tourism, Nicola, would you say that we should actually sort of be hying off to Leicester to actually check out the sights and sounds?
Yes, I'll say yes. Might as well go and visit everywhere, but I wouldn't put it on...
we'll have to ask you to be our guided... You can be our official guide when we come to Leicester. You can actually guide us through some of the sort of excitements of Leicester. You know, have Nicola Clancy's guide to Leicester. I'm not sure how to... I mean, this could be an interesting leading question here. It's a survey by Mintel and the Daily Telegraph. But apparently... Maybe I should just sort of leave it to the listener to find out. Oh, well, what the hey? I mean, I'll say actually yes, I do to both of these. But Jericho, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, and Nicola likewise. But apparently, 95% of women don fresh underwear and socks every day. Only 78% of men do. So that's 95% of women donning fresh underwear and socks every day. Only 78% of men do. Of course, there's always the classic, do you just turn it round on itself? Do you just revert the thing? Does that work? I don't know. Should you not go commando? It's a different line. You know, there's all sorts of other areas here. Jericho, anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, I think I'd rather go commando than wear them.
Really?
Honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
It's okay. Not for me. Not for me.
Nicola, I mean, again, you can plead the fifth and say, I don't wish to answer that question. It's entirely up to yourself, really.
Well, it's got to be a fresh pair every day, no matter what.
Nice, very good, yes. Good answer. Very appreciate that from that point of view. And onwards to a couple of other sort of stories which I thought was just quite interesting to pick up. Email. There's a suggestion that it's had its day. the email is not going to be working. It's something we'll be chasing up with Dean Wilkinson in a few moments.
Is Pigeons coming back in?
Well, I did think Pigeons, but no, it's all down to instant messaging. Instant messaging via the likes of things on chat networks such as Facebook and various other things is the way forward. Apparently, it's to reflect the notion that employees of most companies typically get around 200 emails a day. They spend between 5 and 20 hours a week just clearing their inboxes. Companies face a deluge of information, and it's apparently time to think differently, according to Thierry Breton, a former French finance minister and the CEO of Atos Origin, because Europe's largest IT company, the aforementioned Atos Origin, intends to scrap internal emails by 2013. Its 49,000 staff will still use email to correspond with clients and other businesses, but to talk amongst themselves, they'll adopt a variety of newer things, such as instant messaging services and older methods, including talking face-to-face.
No.
So how much time do you spend clearing your email out at work, Nicola? I mean, in the sort of banking industry, is it a case of, no, I mean, I set this aside and you just think, well, what's going on with this? And do you feel the email is just not working from that point of view? I mean, extraordinarily enough, in 2 years ago, 2010, 89% of all email was spam. That's now actually reduced to 73% of all email being spam. Well, what are your thoughts on the email scenario? Do you think it's had its day?
I don't think it's had its day, no, not at all. I think that you still need it because you can go back to it. You don't have to answer it straight away, whereas you'll have to connect with everyone at the same time. No, I think that's a silly idea to scrap it completely, but... Yeah.
You see, this is the reason that's... I mean, obviously we have a presence on Facebook with respect to Southside Broadcasting. You can connect from that point of view. But if I'm going to sort of book you for a show, Nicola, I'll do that strange thing, like pick up a telephone and phone you, you know, and actually speak directly to you and say, "Are you?" I might send you an email, I might work through that. But there's that other line about social networks being so popular because, you know, they enable people to stay in touch and you have, obviously, location activities planned, scheduled for the day without the need for constant emailing. It's status updates, in which users post a simple message that can be read by all their contacts, which enable people to see and share information that might not be worth an email but can be useful nevertheless. Like Twitter, I'm in a radio station doing a radio program. What, you know, I just think it's too much, really. It's just, Jericho, I mean, I know you're not a Facebook person
no,
as well.
No, I'm not for that either. Like you're saying about updating yourself, I don't think that many people are bothered what I'm doing, to be honest. Like, oh, I'm in the car driving.
To fish
like. Yeah. No one cares. No one cares. And I think if you're good friends, you stay in contact either way, don't you, on the phone or meet them, but the people hang on.
It crossed my mind, Nicola, when I was phoning you this morning. I thought, should I have actually checked your Facebook site, Nicola, to see what the situation was with respect to your status vis-a-vis the driving test, etc.? Would I get a response such as saying, well, don't you know? Of course I passed. Did you not check my Facebook thing, etc.? And yet I didn't, because I thought, well, I'll just ask you. You know, what are your thoughts on this one, Nicola?
I don't like to put everything up on there.
No.
I like to keep it quite personal.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Good.
The best way is to either contact or see people, I think.
Precisely. I mean, after all, you know, we're not encouraging stalking here, even though Twitter talks about following. It's a different line on that particular. Plus, of course, attention spans. Apparently, this new technology, according to the director of the United States National Institute of Drug Abuse, Nora Volkow, interesting name, it's actually rewiring our brains. And indeed, this is something that's quite interesting because people feel a buzz of excitement when a message arrives, but then it fades, leaving us feeling flat and bored until the next one comes. Oh, it's a message! Oh, it's gone now. Exactly. Whether this makes us less productive is open to question, but research has actually shown that people work better in bursts of concentration interrupted by breaks rather than in long, sustained spells. So email... Don't forget you can use that. And contact us now on info@southsideradio.com. That's it, info@southsideradio.com. Yeah. Just as Kadeem Hussein has actually done, because Nicola, Kadeem Hussein has sent in another piece of poetry. It's obviously, I don't know why he sends them. He presumably sort of expects us to read them out, etc. So we'll actually just move the thing around here. And we'll formally attempt to actually do this particular piece of classic poetry called Borough Always Bounces Back. Once again, Nicola, your role in this is simply to settle back, listen, and then give a full Nicola Clancy critique, even along the lines of, well, that was rubbish. Okay. Borough always bounces back, written after Shrewsbury Cup match. Borough always bounces back. We have lost a back-to-back game. That's what we're doing this season. At Blackpool, Borough were seasick, but not shipwreck. Borough always bounces back. After every bad day at the office, we look back to 1986. Borough FC was reborn. That's what we're doing this season. Paper-thin squad, empty war chest. I'm not feeling blue because Borough always bounces back. Playing with passion and pride like the class of 86. That's what we've doing this season. Players, Mogger and the fans will keep going through the pain barrier. Borough always bounces back. That's what we've doing this season. Sort of all this computer dropping down to actually in shock at that particular thing, but there we are. Borough always bounces back. So stop now. And yes, I did. It's not a typo. It's that's what we've doing this season. In it, man. Is he kind of keeping down with that's what we've doing this? I mean, is it saying like Fishburne Park is drawing 1-1? That's what we've doing this season. I think not.
I think we needed like a bit of reggae behind that. Yeah,
a bit of boom, chink, boom, chink, chink, chink. Perhaps I'll actually remix it.
Yeah, we should.
We'll do a remix version.
He's just saying that Middlesbrough are living in the past. And go, look, when we've had a bad day at the office, we'll go to 1986. See, we'll rubbish then. And we're rubbish now.
It is. Anyway, you know, that's our opinions. The key thing is, and I know what Kadeem is keen to find out, really, and a listener, what does Nicola Clancy think about Borough always bouncing back?
Wow. I think it sounded a bit like a song.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get that beat behind it, I think.
It does, exactly. Yeah. Sounded a bit like a song. Perhaps it's an anthem. Yeah. Maybe he's actually developing that.
Yeah.
Borough always, we've been doing this season.
Well, ask Robert what he thinks.
Exactly.
He can sing it on the terraces.
We will indeed. I shall alert Robert Nichols, the editor-in-chief of Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, and indeed the fanzine, of course, and see what he's actually up to on that basis. I'll send this message across. He'll listen to it. I'll get the Robert Nichols views on that. Nicola, I cannot believe it, but the time has shot by, and I'm looking at the classic children's television quiz book compiled by Dean Wilkinson, who we're speaking to in a few moments, and I've got to ask you to give me a page number between 1 and 125, please.
99.
99. Any reasons for 99?
I don't know. Ice cream.
Nice, exactly. Well, you know, you got an amazing fact from 1999, because we need to actually ask you the question, which show was about a jumbo jet made wrongly because the engineer who made him mistook inches for centimetres? The result was this small animated aeroplane. It was a series on the BBC from 1985 to 1986. What was that series entitled? Nicola, any ideas?
I don't know. Jumbo
Jet. Failure. Okay. Jericho, any thoughts from yourself?
The Jetsons.
I'm just wondering, actually, has he put the actual answer into the book here? Because I have to sort of say, I haven't got a clue what we're talking about here. 877. Jimbo and the Jet Set.
Oh. That's what I meant.
Well, yes, it was Jimbo and the Jet Set, a series made about a jumbo jet made wrongly because the engineer mistook inches for centimetres. Small animated aeroplane. Jimbo and the Jet Set. So there we are. Nicola, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link back on the link-up stage of the Southside Broadcasting thing?
Yes, it's been brilliant, thank you.
Marvellous. So can we look forward to featuring you again in the very near future?
Yes, indeed. I look forward to it.
I'm thinking, actually, Nicola, what are you doing about 8 a.m. on Thursday morning? Is that too early for you?
I'll be getting ready for work.
But if we sort of squeezed in a 10-minute little piece with you, good self, would that be a sort of possibility?
Yes, you'll have to remind me.
Of course. Thursday, 8 a.m. Because then, you see, we can have Leicester spread once again throughout the wilds of Lincolnshire, which people have missed since Nicola Clancy was actually last in Lincoln, really. You know, and they'd be saying, you know, I know they can listen online, but, you know, we've done that from a Teesside angle, but we can work on that basis. Either way, Nicola Clancy, she will return.